This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
Hi, Vlady.
Hey, Nick. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. It's been a while since we had the chat.
Right? I was just about to say, it feels like a while that we haven't seen each other and record and talk to you guys. I hope you're all doing well with everything happening around us.
It's been a while since we had some Vlady and Nektarios time, because it was always about, let's talk about this and let's talk about that. And it was all work stuff, but just checking in on each other hasn't happened in a while.
True. And we had a lot of, I was writing our newsletter intro, and it was heavy on grief, our last few episodes on the losses and grief and how do we deal with it as entrepreneurs and human beings. And it made me think and like, okay, we don't maybe need like heavy intros and heavy conversations anymore. Sometimes it's just okay. As Joshua, our friend from Asawa, he says in one of his LinkedIn posts, like, just breathe. It's okay just to take another breath. And yeah, so I just felt a little bit like this, you know, with our latest episodes. It was just heavy, good, but heavy. So yeah, it's good to connect maybe in a different way today, a little bit.
So where in the world are you?
So surprisingly, I'm not in Pakistan. I'm not in Bratislava. I am in beautiful Chicago. Very first time for me. It's sunny out there. I was expecting, I brought my boots because people were saying there is plenty of snow and it's like minus 15. I came into 15 plus and sun. So my wardrobe is completely misaligned, but that's the least of a problem. Yeah, I'm here with part of the family. It's really nice. We've been traveling a lot lately. So we left Pakistan about a week ago, went through Sri Lanka, which was really lovely. But you said it, and it's somehow you know, becoming true. I feel like either the countries I leave or the countries I enter, they're in the midst of a turmoil, political and economical, which is not that funny, but yeah, so a lot of happening in Pakistan. We have a new prime minister. So our team was a little bit stressed with everything and how is this going to impact also funding flowing in. And then Sri Lanka, we went to the country and they had power outages and people like long queues. You know, you take tuk-tuk and you see these long queues of people waiting for gas with their barrels. And it was quite sad to see, frankly. And then, yeah, came to Chicago. I hope there's no crisis over here. Although I feel like, you know, this whole country's under the overall crisis for the last, 5 years or so. So that's a little bit about me locating myself. I see you're in London.
I'm at home.
How are you doing? You're at home.
I'm doing okay. I was thinking about this. I could have the whole conversation pretending I'm better than I am. Like, yeah, everything's fine. But reality is I'm very tired. I got one of those devices, wearables, that is a ring that measures
Aura?
Your heart rate.
Aura?
Yeah. And it's been really interesting. I had it now for over a week. And monitoring certain things that you would never think mattered, and learning about what affects your energy, or the way they describe it every day, you get your readiness score, where it says you're kind of, maybe you should be careful today because you're not fully ready, and how kind of the interplay between your sleep and your heart rate and your exercise all matters. So it's been really interesting to every morning I get a bit obsessive just checking. I realize I sleep more than I thought I did, but that doesn't mean a lot. But I also realize that I don't have the best sleep, because there's something called sleep quality. So it's just insightful. But when at the same time, you just go through life thinking, I'm really, really tired. It's also, there's the technology and the data, and that's your body just telling you, you should have a nap.
Yeah, and I was thinking that maybe for that, you don't need the, you know, tech ring. But I always, about this tech, so I hear you, I find it, I'm curious about it. But I have this like inside dilemma, like, am I going to be more stressed by having it, by having the insights, or is it helpful? Yeah, I don't have a relationship with it. Yeah.
I find it helpful. I don't know why. It's not stressing me. It makes me feel like I have context for some of the things that I experience.
Mm.
But I like data. So I like knowing why things are the way they are, which is what my therapist used to try me not to do. He says, just acknowledge it. Just stay with it. Don't try and fix it.
Go problem solver.
But yeah, so, overall, I'm fine. Yeah, it's been a busy few weeks. And the grief thing was heavy indeed. There is something there where you, again, just accepting that it's part of your life. And the older you get, the more it will be part of your life. You just need to acknowledge it and make it part of your life rather than fight it or let it drag you down. But yeah, I was listening to a conversation a couple of days ago when one person was describing how she was practically trying to say that because she had a miscarriage, every time there was a period in her life when just even babies showing on television would create an emotional response. And she was deliberately trying to avoid the word triggering because triggering is now something negative. But reality is kind of linking into a conversation about grief. There's things that just set me off or remind me of something. So it's an up and down, and there are triggers everywhere for things, but you just learn to accept it and deal with it. But for me, the reason I'm tired is I went on this retreat and then I was really busy. And it goes back to what happened last year in July. I don't know if you remember where I was on a retreat and then really busy and nearly collapsed. And there was this moment where I thought, okay, I can see the signals. I can feel my body's telling me slow down. And what do you do if you don't have the luxury? What can you control if you have like a limited time and there's people only available at certain times and all that? So it was a question of being very clear. It's going to be really difficult for a week, but then I really need to make time for recovery and sleep and not thinking.
So do you feel like you've done better this time? I mean, it's a triggering question, maybe I'm using your words, like doing better, but like with the intention of asking, knowing, acknowledging, right, having that experience, like where you are able to navigate through this differently, maybe that's a better way to ask.
I think yes, I still make some of the mistakes. It's so stupid. I mean, you know, when you kind of see yourself do something and you know it's not the right thing and you do it anyway. So I go to this retreat, right? It's like a founder's
I know how that feels.
Event, and it's busy and it's people. And when I'm feeling extroverted, I thrive on the energy. So at the beginning was all exciting, lots of new people, all interesting stories. And because it's like an organized thing, there's always food around. And okay. I literally am the sort of person who, if there's food there, I'll eat it. Like you can't put a nice slice of cake on a buffet and I just walk past it, ignoring it, right? Mm-hmm. So we had lunch, and then there was tea, and then there was nice cake, and I really wasn't hungry, but I still ate that cake. And afterwards, you can slap yourself, but you know, in that I'm tired and it's stressful and everything else, that's the comfort behavior that I know I have. Like that's what I kind of use to make myself feel better, which is stupid. But the worst thing about it is you're at home, you had too much to eat, you probably had a little bit too much to drink. Mm-hmm. So you're lying in bed thinking, why the F did I do this to myself? Tomorrow's a new day. I'll be better. And then I get up in the morning and I go and I do exactly the same thing. So.
I think there is. I feel you. And look, I feel like it's every day is the new day. And it doesn't mean that every day with the new day, we, you know, become the better version of ourselves. But I think we are the version of ourselves that is already, you know, in a good place, right? And it's part of the journey, as you said. So, yeah, I hope you were not too hard on yourself.
I wasn't hard on myself. I was actually laughing at myself. But there is this thing about, this is all triggered by you. How are you? I'm tired because I also kind of had some behaviors that just weren't good for me. Right. And I know.
And you know. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, when you are in your extroverted self, then you go and you energize by being social and being, you know, talkative and being around people. And I know that this is a subject we wanted to open up together a little bit more, sort of how does the being introverted versus being extroverted, or am I sitting somewhere in the middle? How does this whole sort of range works for me? Who am I more or less? And how does that relate to my life as an entrepreneur? I think that's a very interesting topic, and to our mental and emotional health. I remember our first conversation with Casey, who is our dear friend and supporter of Future Farm. And he's an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur and investor right now. And he self-defines himself as an introverted human being. And it's a subject that he was sort of trying to unpack. And it's very fascinating, actually. And so maybe that's something that we go a little bit deeper into. Although, to be completely honest, I still feel like I'm walking on eggshells, because it's a subject that I think a lot of us feel. I have this assumption, like a lot of us feel that it's very binary. It's like you're extroverted, introverted. That's what you are. And that already triggers me. Now you gave me this word trigger, so I'm going to stick around with the words. Terrible habit. It's but you know, like this binary thing, I always sort of react to it, like I resent it. So when I was doing some reading on this, it was actually interesting, because what I learned was that obviously you sort of flow in the range. It doesn't mean that you are one or the other. You can be a mix of both, and it depends on the context as well. And to me, that was quite liberating also, not to sort of feel like I have to subscribe myself to one identity or the other. And it's quite fascinating to start learning a little bit more about sort of how it shows up in the life of entrepreneurs. And there were some stories I read about founders who re-energize themselves in being in more of a solitude and silence and being with themselves. But because of the nature of being an entrepreneur and what it requires, and it was like written, used language, they faked it to be extroverts. And obviously, I think it led to burnout, a big burnout, because you're just disconnecting with the authentic self. And I think it just goes against everything we talk about, which is like, hey, start from a place of knowing yourself. So with this intro, I think.
I didn't notice it was an intro.
Me neither, but I just felt that was an intro. How well do you think you know yourself when it comes to sort of how you re-energize yourself? Is it more on the connections and people and being out there, or is it more, and maybe that I'm going to cut my question there so I don't become binary in my question.
Also, you're practically trying to influence my feedback. No, joking aside, there is a movie that won the Oscar for Best Foreign Movie called Drive My Car, that we watched about a month ago. And it was in an evening where I was really, it was like tired and I wanted something to distract myself. And we started watching this because it sounded interesting. It's a Japanese movie. It had an interesting premise. didn't check how long the movie is. So the opening credits come in 40 minutes into the movie. So wow. You watch it and 40 minutes in, it's like, so this was a little bit of what you just did. It's like we talk and talk and talk and suddenly there's bloody good. And by the way, this is what this episode is. it's an amazing movie, and but it's over 3 hours, so you need to be emotionally ready for it. So it's when you were talking about it just now, I realized something that I hadn't really acknowledged before, because I always thought I'm very extroverted with my definition that I had at the time, that I also derived a judgment in that. So extrovert good, introvert bad, which didn't help anybody, but there was something in there, because if you're not like me, it's not good, right? I then realized as I go through life that I'm actually quite on the fence between the spectrum, somewhere in the middle, as in I like to tap into different types of modes when I need them. And the pandemic opened my eyes very clearly to the fact that I am perfectly capable of finding energy and excitement or balance or whatever word you want to use without people around me, which is something that I didn't know I could. The flip side of this is now I realize that I'm getting tired of lots of people around and lots of external impulses faster than I used to.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag. I don't know. How about you? Where would you put yourself somewhere on the spectrum?
Similar. I feel that probably if I would think about how people define me, it would probably be more on the extroverted spectrum. But I internally feel that I oscillate between the two. I probably push myself more often to the extroverted self. However, I feel you in terms of what you said with COVID. Although I personally went through major isolations and stuff, I mean, by the nature of how we worked, I mean, we traveled and did the work and everything, and I was around people. I do feel that in the sort of past maybe 2 years, I am allowing myself to be more upfront with no's, and I'm doing less yeses and more no's. And this also comes to the relationship of re-energizing with myself. And I like that. I like this feeling. And I feel like I want to sort of more nurture this part of myself. And there's a lot about that sort of energy that you said, or the value that we assign to extroverted good, introverted bad. And I feel that COVID and the sort of period that we all went through actually started to bring up the introverted leadership more, you know, up sort of to everybody's attention as well. And I'm enjoying this conversation. I think it's very important, and I feel that it's important for us to educate ourselves as entrepreneurs and leaders, even like what that means. Like, okay, there one thing is to use the words, but I would love for us to maybe ourselves and with the right people or with people that are sort of deeper into the subject, is to start understanding what are the behaviors or what are the traits of sort of when I'm in my introverted self and I'm still, you know, I show up every day as a leader, as an entrepreneur with my team. And there are days when I feel more to sort of in the space of connecting with people and re-energizing this way. And there are days more in a shelf and I want to be myself. And how do we put a judgment on ourselves? What does this mean? How do we talk to our teams about this? So those are all sort of questions that I'm curious to explore. And certainly also to talk more to people who are very confident in their introverted self. I somehow feel like very curious about people who are confident about that part of themselves and who are sort of vocal about it. It might be coming from a place of where we are maybe, and I'm saying you and I, it's just by, you know, sort of, I guess, feeling your state of being a little bit, is that being also tired and everything. For me, it also relates a lot to that extroversion and a lot of sort of, it feels loud, it feels intense, you know? So in some way, I feel curious about the introverted selves a little bit more these days.
We are clearly using terminology in our own definition. We're far from being experts, right? We're learning and exploring. There is something in what you just said about seeing this as modes for me. So I can lean into one or the other, or switch one on, switch the other off. But there is also something like a base way of functioning. So I'm the sort of person who will walk into a party where you don't know anybody and go, let's see who's here. Let's have a chat with somebody.
Oh, right? My God. I'm like cringing.
If it's a party. But if I'm on a plane, for instance, don't talk to me, because planes are not the place for that. But I met this is the boyfriend of a friend of mine. He was the kind of guy who would, they were going to get on this big trip, and he was looking forward to meeting the people who'd be sitting next to him on a plane. And we all told him, are you mad? It's not, don't do this. And then he literally sent us a selfie from the plane with the two people sitting next to him, all waving to the camera. So
he was happy. We don't know how happy. The other two people felt.
Yeah, there is something about the context and about the environment. I did mention tired because there was this retreat where you had to be on a lot. Mm-hmm. You had to be on because we were talking about mental health, and you also wanted to be open and create a space for people to come to you if they wanted to have a conversation that they didn't want to have in public or share with the group. So there was an element of being available, so sending this signal out, you can come and talk to me, which to me is part of this mode that is more outward facing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it nearly feels like a skill. So it feels like a capability or a skill. No, I mean, it feels like, because I'm not sure if you went there to, the way I understand this is that whether in the moments of when you need to re-energize, whether you are more inclined to go and connect or you go into sort of solitude in yourself. I saw yourself at that retreat as you were a professional Nectarius, and you understood the situation and you knew that your role was to create a safe space, right? So you were putting yourself actively into extroverted self to sort of, you know, sort of reach the purpose of why you were there.
Yeah. But it also means that the only time I could calm down was in the quiet moments in my room in the evening for a few hours, which was made more difficult by too much food and too much wine. But I came out of this straight into 4 days with my new co-founders, or with my co-founders in Radish. And we don't see each other all the time, but because we were all in the same space, we tried to maximize the time together. And because we were together, we also started meeting people who want to join the team. So we spent one day with our first kind of external team member, and we spent another day with an amazing advisor. But suddenly it was this life of permanently talking to people and permanently being on, and not necessarily out of choice, but because you switch on the professional self. And that kind of links to the, what do you do when you, I mean, for me, it's okay, because I also knew that by Wednesday evening, I could go home and hide.
Yeah.
But how do you create that? How do you build a business that has this built in, that freedom, that permission?
My first thought, immediate first thought was, have you talked about it? Like, have you had a conversation with your two other co-founders about how you guys re-energize, what is yourself, you know, like that conversation that we always talk about. And I'm thinking in parallel about my situation. And I mean, I feel like you and I, we through these therapies that we do with you, with everybody listening and doing it live on air, we are in a pretty good place there. But with my other team at Neem, I'm thinking about it, like, we haven't really had that conversation. I think we are sort of assuming and still respecting our individual spaces. But I was actually talking recently with one woman founder Sophie. She was brilliant. I mean, she's sort of very vibrant, radiant entrepreneur. She came on the call, and she's by the way, a mother and building this really sort of really cool Web3 whatever business and the sort of, you know, futuristic technologies. And it's a new business. So she's sort of handling a lot of things, a lot of complexities. And she came on the call. She was full of energy. And at the same time, I felt tired by the conversation because it was just so much of everything. And then she talked to me about how very clear she is with her co-founders about the structure of her setup, of her being, how she functions well. She says, I made it very clear to them as an example that from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., I'm off. Like, I'm with my kids and I'm unreachable. And this is my time of also re-energizing with my family. It's important for my own well-being. And I know this seems like, okay, a lot of people do this. But for me, what was interesting, she said, I have to sort of remind people probably about like twice a month about this setup. And I'm doing it very consciously. And so it just made me think about that. What do you do? What do we do? I feel like, first of all, I guess it's learning about ourselves. And then it's the, have we had that conversation actually, you know, on what it means? And sometimes also how we react, right, in the moment. Like, I know myself that sometimes when I'm deprived of the re-energizing moments, I'm like snappy, terrible to be around with. I'm just gonna, you know, like it's for quite frustrating. It's painful. It's painful for people to be around. I mean, that's the truth. So yeah, have you had that conversation?
I was so tempted to say, yeah, I know it's painful to be around. It's actually, I didn't have that experience with you. So it would have been appropriate. We did have the conversation of sorts. I think we have a lot of conversations about different aspects of how we work and how we function and how we want to work together. And that was built into that. So we know that we're very different in the way we approach things. We know that we have a different in the way that we need to recharge. We had conversations about the balance of physical health and mental health. It's also, and it, so we are, our age range is 27 to 55. So there's also something about the energy you have as a 27-year-old, which is different from mine, right? And we were joking about the fact that a 27-year-old co-founder has to deal with this old fuddy-duddy who sometimes just has ailments that are just different. But it's okay because we try to kind of capitalize on that as and it's learning and it's okay. And it's okay to say, I had a bad night or I've been struggling with X or Y. It doesn't feel like there's no permission to talk about it.
That's good.
I think just looking also back at my career and working with other people, one of my previous co-founders was kind of the very introverted. Like, they would really, really shy away from any social engagement unless it was absolutely mandatory. And they would just show up for the minimum time required and then disappear again. And if you know it, you just plan around it because you don't want to force people to do something that's not, you used the word earlier, authentic, right? So we had this conversation.
Yeah, I feel like we all need to do a little bit more of digging and understanding and educating ourselves. That's what I feel like. But it might be very, very much just my own judgment on myself projecting to others. But I felt that we've been sort of operating in this binary world for too long, and also in the value assigning world of the good and bad, and sort of celebrating some one way of sort of being a leader and showing up. And nearly I caught myself even now when you were sort of sharing your experience with your ex-co-founder who was like very extroverted, like I caught myself feeling like you know, like a little bit of the judgment on the person is like as if there are some ill something something, right? It's like it's a defect of sort. It's terrible. So maybe with that spirit, I'm just sort of excited that we're opening up the subject and really curious. So yeah,
it's going to be fun learning about this. This is I think for us a first where we identified a theme that has been brought to us, and we're having now our uninformed conversation that we have with our own experience and things we've heard and read. But as we go through different episodes, also figuring out what do the experts think and what do people who have a clearer identity on this also think. So yeah,
yes,
it's going to be fun.
Yes. And hopefully we're going to hear and we'll be able to bring you also founder stories, because that's what we care about, right? Creating a safe space for you to share how the experience is for you. So if you have a story to share, please do reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. So it was lovely to see you, Nectarius, and reconnect.
And you, Vladi.
Till next time.
Until next time. Take care.
Ciao.
You've been listening to Naked by The Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.